Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, I do know who's enjoying this Britney drama more than anybody else. Christina Aguilera. Somewhere she is sitting in front of a 72-inch plasma television and tapping her fingers together, Mr. Burns style. It's true. Boy, I guess that race is over. Jesus. Yeah, so we started off today being all about Britney. How the worm turns. For like a good hour there, I forgot Britney even existed. Just like for the first hour of the program, I forgot that Anna Nicole even existed. So really, we were talking in the kitchen about, and I don't wish to seem morbid, but we were talking about really the ideal time for Britney Spears to commit suicide, and that time is not now. If she does it now, it's going to be overshadowed by Anna Nicole. If I was Britney, I would give it, but I'm not advocating this, of course. I'm simply speaking in terms of dramatic punch. If I were her, I would wait about another week.
She's probably in group therapy now.
See, that's what
there's probably no television, radio, or internet. Where she is.
I don't really know that that's true, because when we hear that Lindsay Lohan was like having like McDonald's and like, I don't know, Gigolos or something sent to her rehab place. That's why I want to talk to somebody who actually has been to rehab, because I would like to know sort of what it consists of. Like, if you go to rehab, because they do make it sound like kind of a peaceful, relaxing place. I just wonder, if you go to rehab, like, what does your day consist of? You just wake up in the morning and what happens? I mean, is it just, it can't all just be like you're just sitting around with the big mute Indian. You know what I mean? It's like playing cards. There's got to be something that actually goes on. So, in any event. So we'll go to the Ministry of Truth here in a moment. Jim Roop is sort of, I guess they must have him on the Anna Nicole thing. That's got to be it, because I know that
they have to, because they even called back to confirm right before the show.
Yeah, so we were supposed to talk to him a little bit after 1 o'clock. So I would imagine that he is tied up right now, getting up to speed on Anna Nicole Smith, which means that he'll be able to hopefully recap. They're calling him right now. Okay. Okay, so CNN is getting a hold of him as we speak. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So I think he's probably going to have a little bit on both of those. In the meantime, it's 503-733-2970. Lee, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
Well, this Paul McCartney's soon-to-be ex-wife, Kathleen Miller.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, now that she's a celebrity, she might want to become an actress. She could star in remake of the Johnny Cash story, and they could rename it I Hop the Line.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Let me just, I wasn't really prepared for that to be as bad as it was. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
I Hop the Line. Thank you. All right, there you go. You know, other shows will make 4 hours out of this. Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Hi, what's up?
Hey, I got a twofer for you on the Heather Mills thing.
Yeah.
It can be both your theme song and her first dance. About the Hokey Pokey?
It doesn't really work for Heather Mills, though, does it? It's sort
the
of
left
a...
leg in, the left leg out.
Yeah, but... Okay. Well, there you go. I guess maybe it works in an ironic sense.
Okay, thanks, man.
It's enough that you find it funny, sir. Yes, we'll call that a victory for the day.
Thank
All right,
you,
thank you. All right, there you go. That's Scott. See, she can only put the left leg in. There's no, I get, or the right leg. I don't really know which one it is. Did I just tell you that what is that store the other day? It wasn't CD Game Exchange, which is where I buy most of my vinyl. It was someplace like Everyday Music or something the other day. And I bought the worst children's record. Did you ever buy something just because you see the cover art and you think foolishly to yourself that it might be amusing? I'll play it later. It was like this kid's record. And it was from 1983, and it had some rap song that I thought would be, and it ended up not even being bad enough to be entertaining. It just ended up being really irritating. But it had this bizarre version of the Hokey Pokey. It's so weird that guy would call up about it. I'll dig it up and play it later. Let's see. This is Da.
Make that day.
What? How do you spell that?
D-A-E.
D-A-E. What kind of a name is that?
Well, it's my name. I never asked. It's weird for sure, but
yes, it is. All right.
Day it is.
Okay.
Hey, a comment first. I've been watching Howard K, and of course I watched the reality series.
Howard K, that's his boy band name. Okay.
Howard K. Stern.
Yes.
And You know, my official, unofficial observation is I think he loved Anna a lot. I'm with Scotty J yesterday. I think he truly, I mean, you know, Machiavellian aside, I'm sure there's some of that. And,
manipulation aside.
Yeah, but I really think that he truly is in love with Anna Nicole. And also, you know, and my question is, that was just my chief observation. Doesn't embalming stop the deterioration of the body?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, because all embalming is, because I once thought like you, Day, I asked what embalming was, because I thought embalming, for some reason I thought it was like they just covered you in chapstick or something, like you became all waxy. Apparently all embalming is, and I had several, mortician guys email me about this, embalming is strictly the fluids. Embalming is strictly taking out your blood and replacing it with formaldehyde.
Yeah, but you know, my mom passed away in 95, and...
She's still around. We've got her propped up in the corner, Rick.
Well, the thing is, I remember asking a good friend of mine who worked in the morgue for years about embalming, and she said, your mother literally, in 25 years, will look just exactly like she did the day she was buried.
But that's probably not because of the embalming. That's probably because of something they do to the skin, I would think.
Yeah, but is embalming fluid not, like, from, I mean, it just prevents decomposition of the body?
No, I don't really...
Obviously not, because Anna Nicole is rotting before everybody dies, but I don't understand why...
I think you've answered...
They may have made a mistake in giving her Botox.
That could be, well, yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I believe it slows the process. Because if that was the case, they wouldn't need to refrigerate you, right?
Right.
So I think it slows the process.
Slows it.
But right. I think Mother Nature will not be denied. I think if nature wants to reduce you to, you know, to goo, it'll do it. It may take longer, though. So.
Okay.
And Howard Stern, look, I would tell you that Howard K. Stern, he probably realizes he's not ever going to get to bang another playmate. I would admit that he's probably sad about that.
They've all got book deals awaiting them, movie deals awaiting them. None of them, Virgie, Howard K. Stern, what's his name, Burkhead, they're all going to do just fine on the other end of this.
All right, so the final question, what do you think she died of?
I think she had a lethal drug overdose like her son.
Legal or illegal?
Lethal and illegal.
All right.
That big old jar of methadone sitting in the refrigerator was pretty telling, if you ask me.
All right, Day. How did you discover our very fine radio program?
I've been listening since you came back on the air.
God bless you.
Time.
Seriously, yep. that could mean any one of dozens of years.
No, I listened before, but I was so thrilled when you guys came back. I never miss you.
All right, well, thank you, Day. You call us anytime.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. There you go. All right, fantastic. Well, she was very nice. She started off sounding crazy.
She didn't.
It's true. No, she did. She started off sounding a little nutty. She started off, and she ended up being perfectly normal. But for a moment there, I thought she was. She sounded like one of those crazy women who knits a lot and reads Miss Marple mysteries. All right, let's do one more, and then we'll talk to Jim Roop. Oh, and then we've got somebody who's been in rehab. What are the odds of that? Here's Timmy. Hello, Timmy.
Yeah, hey, Rick. You know. Timothy, actually, we've talked about methadone before. I've talked to you from the set of Sean Penn.
You're the guy that was stalking Sean Penn for us.
Yeah. I was in the movie. I was a bona fide cast member. Anyways, in terms of detox and rehab, yeah, if you have the money to pay for a rehab, plus the appointed like she can deal with, that's different from like Hooper Detox downtown, which is some pretty rough. Horrific couple days.
That's more or less just being locked in a cage somewhere.
Yeah. But you have the freedom to leave on your own recognizance. But you know, it's not advantageous to your recovery.
I can imagine.
My song I was going to use was "She's Got Legs" by ZZ Top.
She's got leg.
Okay.
No, that is
leg.
Leg. All right, that works because that was Tonya Harding's song too. All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
There you go. That's Timothy. Fantastic. All right, well, this is as good a time as any. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our man on the scene in Los Angeles. Chronicling a world gone mad, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Hello, brother.
That's very loud.
Hi.
I can't hear you under that music. Oh, there you are.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
It's fine. God, how's your day been?
It's been busy.
Yeah. Here's how our day has been. We came in at the beginning of the show. Let me just see if I can get this correct. We came in at the beginning of the show talking about Brittany and forgot that Anna Nicole even existed. Then we spent about the last hour just watching this verdict come out of the Anna Nicole thing. We forgot that Brittany existed. And so now I'm just waiting for Brittany to set herself on fire or something so that the circle is complete. Did they have you talking about the Anna Nicole thing at all?
No.
All right, because I frankly, I don't know how much more my brain could take.
From what I understand, her body's being released to the guardian of the baby.
Yeah, but I don't even really know what that means, because I don't know who the guardian is, because nobody knows who the father is. You know what it is? You know what I sound like right now? You know what I sound like? I sound like... What?
Me.
That? I sound like Charles Grodin when he used to do that show on CNBC during OJ.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Did you ever watch... Tim, did you watch Charles Grodin's show on OJ? On CNBC during the OJ period?
I believe I did, yes.
And he was just, every day, he was just more and more of a beaten, broken man. Like, and he was, there's blood on the Bronco, and there was blood on the socks, and I don't know what all, and I just, I don't know. And then he would kind of do this, what can you do, kind of gesture with his hands, and then he would just sort of sag in his seat, and then they would just wait a long 15 or 20 uncomfortable seconds before going to break. Good God Almighty. All right, so... Well, I don't know. So, just to recap here, so we can talk about Brittany. When's this world coming to? With Anna Nicole, I guess that the body's going to be released to Daniel Lynn, but because Daniel Lynn is still eating strained peas, it's going to be Daniel Lynn's guardian, but I think that depends on who the dad is. The dad, which is going to be determined from DNA samples of Anna Nicole Smith, which they're keeping, and DNA samples from the fathers, which they haven't even gotten yet. So, but a Howard K. Stern, I guess, is the presumptive father, and so
well,
forth.
Well, it's only presumed because his name is on the birth certificate.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess that they won't be able to get the fatherhood thing sorted out before they just plant her in the Bahamas, right?
Say that again?
Well, you know what I mean? It's like they're going to, the goal is to get her buried as quickly as possible, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's going to show she's going to get buried in the Bahamas. That'll happen before this fatherhood issue gets sorted out.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess here's the bottom line for us. I guess here on the show, we here in the Rick Emerson program, we're all just rooting against Howard K. Stern. And so we don't even really like the family. We're just rooting against Howard K. Stern. So we wanted her to get buried in Texas just to annoy that guy. So I guess the conclusion we've come to is they're going to end up burying her in the Bahamas, at least temporarily, until they figure out the whole fatherhood issue. So
this is the first time I ever heard the name Richard Milstein.
I guess that's because I guess it's because he doesn't sound like he's ordering a bagel and lox somewhere. And
well, but I thought the baby was living with Howard K. Stern in the Bahamas. I had no idea there was another guardian hanging around.
I guess. I mean, it seems like everybody has at least one lawyer, but maybe I mean, Anna Nicole herself had like seven lawyers, it seems like.
And
so
Stern was one of them.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. So, I mean, the court may have just, maybe one of those things they did right, where they just said, like, screw everything. Like, you're getting your own lawyer, which seems like a good idea. So, good God Almighty. All right. Okay, so that's what's happening with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it turns out that this had been planned for many, many years. You know, because there's so many series of events that had to happen to get to the point where there is one person who could stand to gain everything.
Well, I mean, Sarah and some other people have floated this insane theory now, which is, you know, much like our really logical, rational theory that Daniel was the father of Daniel Lynn. The Sarah is...
How many people name their kids after the father?
Well, that is true. Sarah's now on the Larry Birkhead and Howard K. Stern are having a secret affair tip.
No, this guy, our friend Seamus, said that they completely orchestrated this. They're lovers, and they saw that Anna Nicole was going down the tubes and she had all that money. So, yeah.
But I mean, really, would it surprise you at this point? I mean, would anything surprise you? Good God. All right, so...
No, nothing would surprise.
This is just draining my will to live, this whole thing. All right, well, let's move to Britney Spears for a second.
Yeah.
So Britney went crazy last night, and checked herself out of rehab, went over to Kevin Federline's house, tried to get in. He told her to eat it, and then so she started attacking a bunch of paparazzi with an umbrella.
Yeah.
And you look at these photographs, and she looks like an enraged skinhead. I mean, she just looks... I mean, I don't mean to sound like I'm piling on here, because clearly she's a woman under a great deal of stress and so forth, but I mean, there's, you know, having a bad day, there's high, there's, you know, you see people who've had one too many pops or whatever, and they get out there and they cause a ruckus. I look at these photographs of her, which, again, to be fair, only stills, but I mean, she just looks flat out screaming crazy in these photographs.
Yeah, that's probably why she's back in rehab.
Now, is she back in rehab because of that, or because they threatened to give the kids to Federline if she left rehab again?
I'm being told by sources that I believe that this whole losing your kids is the scariest thing for her. And so if Federline says, look, unless you get back into rehab, I'm taking the kids.
Right.
It'll happen. I'll go to court and I'll say, yeah, she's nutty. She's got an addiction. You take the kids for a while and help and good luck with your rapper career. I honestly believe that's what happened. Because I believe the people who tell me this.
Right.
Because they're close enough to know. But, you know, these people are also close enough to put up a smoke screen for both of them at their request. So I can only speculate.
So, I mean, is there any idea of what she checked into rehab for at this point?
No.
All right. So
it's an addiction problem. What that addiction is, no one knows. The alcohol and drugs is substance.
Right.
You know, everything's it's substance. But, you know, it's just one of those things where unless she really surrenders for treatment, it's not going to work.
Right.
So we'll know tomorrow now. If she stays in for more than 24 hours, that's a win.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, that's, see, and we heard, let me ask you this, TMZ has reported, for what it's worth, we heard that there have been, that she had tried to off herself a couple of times.
I've never heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that was going to be my question, is like, well, what the hell?
What are they attributing that to?
Tim, did TMZ say?
TMZ.
Did they identify the sources?
They did not.
Okay, so TMZ, not identifying the sources, claimed that she had taken what appeared to be a suicidal overdose of Xanax at one point. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it doesn't seem like and I kind of called BS on that, not because I don't believe TMZ as such, because they've been right on some things, but just because it seems like if that's the case, then your committal becomes involuntary. You know what I mean? If that's the case, they put you in the booby hatch and they lock it.
That's exactly right. Then you get a court order to be committed.
Yeah.
The court order has not been granted or issued or even requested.
Right.
So I don't know about that too much. I'll tell you, I don't get it. Because if I was, let's say I was a Britney Spears type celebrity with that kind of power and money.
Right.
If I was getting depressed or freaked out, I'd open my checkbook and look at the register and go, oh, hell, I'm fine.
Yeah, seriously, or just go move somewhere for a while. You know what I mean? You're sick of people, you're sick of the paparazzi, but that's if you're that rich, that's what they call having FU money, which means, you know.
I know what that means.
You buy an island somewhere.
Well, I buy a lottery ticket once a week.
Exactly. So you can just, you know, hey, Rube, going to work, FU.
Yeah.
And you just buy an island, kick everybody off, you know what I mean?
And she's got more money than most, and at 25 years old, could probably do that.
Is it true that somebody froze her bank account, though, that her finances have been frozen, and that's why she couldn't get a room or whatever, and
I don't know about all that. I just think she was on something.
Yeah, we heard that she was wandering around. She had some part of a credit card number or something.
Yeah, I heard that too, but I couldn't get anybody to confirm that for me.
All right, okay. So, because I think she and Federline, all the finances are split there or something, but I don't know. God,
but you know what? I'm also being told that, you know, he still kind of cares about her, mainly because she's, you know, the mother of his kids.
Right.
And he just wants her squared away. You know, I mean, if that says anything nice for him, I don't know.
All right.
Was that something else on that?
I'm sorry, I was just whispering to Tim. Somebody is saying that there's now new breaking Anna Nicole news. Scotty's telling us there's a breaking Anna Nicole news. So Tim and Sarah look into that right now. All right, brother. Well, I know it's been a bit of a day for you, and it has been for us as well, so I will let you return to your day. By the way, I enjoyed some of your fine sunshine while I was down there.
Okay. Oh, it's raining right now.
All right. Do you want to stick around and hear the news?
No, just want to remind everybody, through all of this Anna Nicole stuff and all this Britney stuff, that men are still dying in Iraq.
Yeah, no.
Thank you.
Amen to you, Jim Roop.
Thank you, Jim Roop. All right, there you go. Thanks, brother.
All right.
There you go. That's Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Love that guy.
Bada bing.
Oh, all right. Thanks for making me feel small.
I know, totally. Now I'm
Well, I mean, really, you know, but...
You know. Also, we're going to pass 4 hours.
No, it's not just that, but it's like, it's not that doesn't matter, but I'm a big believer that, you know, crap like Britney Spears shaving her head and attacking a car with an umbrella is a necessary diversion in this world of ours. I firmly believe that. All right, Tim, should we go to you for breaking news here?
Well, actually, it's a piece of... Well, apparently, there's a black hearse parked outside the Broward County Medical Examiner's office, and it's not Brenda Nicole Smith.
What?
It is not for Anna Nicole Smith. It's not for her.
I don't understand.
I know, it's a piece of non-news.
So, they're
people
moving...
are watching cars being parked in front of the building.
They're moving another body that... So now we're talking about bodies that were just next to her at one point.
Apparently so, yes.
All right, here you go. That's... All right. Let's see. Bruce Agler has called back to say to go back to our judge feed.
Go back
to the judge feed that we were taking earlier.
Papers? Do you want me to get mine?
I'll have to bring it up. Hold on. Damn it. Where did
mine go?
Well, you know, my Mozilla, which is what I use proudly, my Mozilla crashed earlier in the day. And to use anything, I have to reboot the whole computer, which I don't want to do. So I'm busy using Internet Explorer, which is ass, by the way.
Me too, okay.
Where is it? Okay, I'm trying.
It's buffering. Is there something there?
I don't know. I got nothing. That's all he said. He said, go back and check your Anna Nicole. This program either sounds brilliant or terrible.
Okay,
I can't really tell which.
But it's a family affair. You guys can go home.
Hey, my suspect Corbin.
Okay, now Debbie, you want to come
one party, please? Okay, hold on, Larry.
We're asking Judge Corbin to domesticate the California.
No, we'll talk about that when they leave. Okay, hold on. This is a burial site.
Okay.
That's been resolved.
Are we all done?
Okay.
What is this that's happening?
This is them exiting the courthouse, I believe. There's Larry Burkhead right there.
Oh, I want somebody to punch somebody. I want somebody just to throw a huge haymaker.
People are exiting the courtroom and helicopters are flying overhead. People are leaving the courtroom.
Where's Jim Roop to tell us all that we're shallow for watching? So this is the courtroom. All right, and I've got mine. You might want to pop me down, Sarah, because I've got mine playing as well. So I've got the CBS News feed over here in case we have to go to it. Boy, that's just a zoo, man.
People are leaving the courtroom.
It's just...
There's a boom mic.
It's just crazy. So we're literally, it's just cameras tracking people.
Okay, looks like they stopped it.
People are walking across a street.
That does appear to be it. All right. Oh, wait, hold on. This is Bruce Agler, who can actually tell us what's up. Bruce?
Yeah, you guys do it. They're just a little too late. Howard K. Stern and the rest of them came out and announced that they had all agreed to send her body to the Bahamas.
Oh, really? We missed it?
Yeah, you missed it.
Damn it.
I got to get like some feed of this right into my head.
They have not yet decided how to figure out the paternity. They just put that off. They said, we aren't going to even agree on any of that today. But they all did sit down in the courtroom and agree that Howard would take her body back to the Bahamas.
All right. But so there's no word on when they're going to talk about the paternity.
Right.
All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go. That's Bruce Agler. Okay. So we're just in time to see people walking out of the courtroom. Fantastic.
People are crossing the streets as they wait for the walk lights.
There we go. That's just in.
Some are jaywalking.
Let's see. Janice, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
So I was just calling to answer your questions about being in rehab.
Oh, so have you been in rehab?
I have.
Now, may I ask what you were in rehab for?
Okay, let me preface all this by saying that I was in rehab 20 years ago when I was 17. I'm 37 now.
Of course.
I was in rehab for a ton of stuff, just a lot of hard drugs, pot every day, no alcohol, though.
And so when you say hard drugs, it's like cocaine or heroin or something?
A lot of speed, but it ended with me doing LSD every other day, and I just had a really bad trip, went to a crazy house at a hospital where I was on my way to Damish, and then I sort of straightened up, and they sent me to treatment for those days instead. So it was a lot of the hallucinogens were the biggest thing at the end.
Right, and So when you went to rehab, so this is 20 years ago, so maybe, I don't know.
I remember it vividly. It was 30 days that I was in a place.
So now, did you go voluntarily, or did somebody stick you there?
No, I said I wanted to go in the throes of my acid trip, and I told my parents I had a problem, and I wanted to do this, and then when I calmed down a little bit, I decided I didn't want to go, but they made me go anyway.
Well, good for them. So what was it like? What is a typical day? Yeah, like you wake up in rehab, what do you do?
So you go to breakfast, and they sort of gauge what you, from even what you eat. They don't even have sugar or caffeine because, you know, those are drugs.
Right.
And then you go to some kind of group therapy with, since I was a youth, they called it then, I was in with a bunch of other teenagers. And so you go to group therapy. You go and you sometimes have individual therapy with, you're assigned a counselor from the first day you get there. So you sometimes have individual therapy. A lot of what was hard for a lot of the kids, not for me. I had a great family. I did drugs because I was bored. I wasn't molested. I had great parents. I had a great upbringing. I think I really did them because I was bored. Most of the kids in there did them because they were molested or were abused or whatever. And so I think the hardest part for a lot of them, and the part where you had trauma and it wasn't just like a country club, was when they had to deal with their parents and their families. And so like once a week you'd have to have like a family day where your family would come in, and I liked that because I liked my family. But I think that was the, you know, the traumatic part, and the part where people were working through a lot in treatment.
Well, yeah, and it's like, especially you got some weird molestation thing, and like dad's coming to visit you on alternate Wednesdays.
That's no fun. And you have a step-parent or just weird situations.
Now, did you have, like, if you were on speed, did you have, like a bad withdrawal or whatever, where you just, like, climbing the walls?
No, I wasn't, like, I was really into crystal meth, but I wasn't, like, I wouldn't say I was addicted to crystal meth. I was definitely addicted to pot, and I was addicted to hallucinogens.
How weird that you would be, you would describe yourself as being addicted to marijuana, but not crystal meth.
And it was something that I could have easily, I think I always had these great parents that sort of always brought me back and great friends and stuff, because I was definitely, the time I really got into crystal meth, I've never been more physically addicted to anything in my life, and so I can totally see how these poor people get strung out on that.
No, I've never taken crystal meth, but it just, having read enough, here's the thing, and this is the one I would never lie to anybody about, is that you read a lot of descriptions of drugs, and of course the physical sensations of a lot of drugs, which are just fantastic. You know, it's like, people take drugs because they feel good most of the time. That's the big lie that we tell our children. Drugs don't feel good. It's not a good time at all. Well, which is just a lie. Drugs feel fantastic. That's why people take them. But I will say that the people I know who've done crystal meth and the descriptions of it I've read, it doesn't even seem like it feels all that good. Crystal meth, does it feel good?
Oh, I think it does. I think when you get to a point where your body literally, after 5 days of doing it, my body hurt when I did not do it. I mean, your body literally hurts because you're doing chemicals from underneath your kitchen sink.
Yeah, because it's like Clorox and Comet and crap. Yeah.
But I thought it was awesome. It's like MDA and speed and, the best things put together. It's like your body is high, your mind is high, you talk a mile. I thought it was the best thing ever. I'm not going to lie. It was the best feeling ever. I think the in-between times and the coming down is awful and hell, and maybe that's what people say, that it's not fun, but I think it's totally fun. Even when you can barely get a sentence out, it's still fun because
Jim Goad, who's a Portland writer, he wrote this great...
Was he the Basketball Diaries guy?
No, he wrote a book called The Redneck Manifesto.
Oh, yeah. He's about St. John's.
Yeah, he wrote this great, and when I say great, a very vivid description of doing crystal meth, and he described it as, he had like a job at like a lumber mill, and he said he did it because he had to get all his work done, and he wrote this sentence that I will never forget, and this is what I think would keep me from ever doing crystal meth. He talked about when he came, the coming down, when he came down off crystal meth, he said his veins felt like they were filled with chilly lumps of wet cement.
Yeah. Exactly. Your body, your every vein in your body hurts. That makes total sense.
And just even saying that now, it just horrified me. Or chili lumps of wet sand. He said his veins felt like they were filled with chili lumps of wet sand. And I read that and I'm like, I'm never going to do that drug ever. So after 30 days, what did they automatically kick out of it to see if you're okay, or what do they do?
It wasn't this was, in the early days, treatment wasn't cool then, and there weren't tons of treatment centers everywhere then.
Right.
So it was a 30-day program, and then you're gone, but then you have aftercare. I mean, some people went to aftercare for years. I never was into the AA touchy-feely group therapy. I hated all that part of it.
Right.
I found my therapy other places, but I think, they do kick you out after 30 days, but they look after you. Nowadays, they decide after 30 days whether you need to go for 30 more,
right,
and whether you need to go for 6 months, and nowadays they'll keep you in there forever.
Well, because it's an industry now. I mean, part of
some
business.
It really is.
Did you ever go back? Did you ever fall off?
That's a loaded question, considering I work at a big corporation here in Portland, Oregon.
Let me put it this way. In the immediate aftermath, in the few years after you went...
I even went worse. I mean, I had never tried crack, so I'm like, let me try some crack now. So
right.
I even went to the, where I'm like, let me do all these things I haven't done. I did, and then I was into doing drugs with the people I was in treatment with, because I got so close to them.
Right.
And then you thought, it'd be fun to do drugs with them. So in that sense, I definitely did more drugs, and I'm not totally clean now, but I'm totally, at a place where I function, and I don't do hard drugs at all, but I'll smoke pot every once in a while,
right,
and I drink, but otherwise, I'm totally a functioning member of society.
And as much as I don't care what anybody does with their body, in other words, I think people ought to be free to do whatever they want, and I think the war on drugs produces more criminals than it does clean living. The drugs, and Sarah and I have talked about this before, that drugs just terrify me, because like when you mentioned crack, and I don't mean to sound like some guy who's been indoctrinated by Reagan era scare films, but crack terrifies me because it just seems like it would be the best thing.
You would like it too much.
Yeah,
it
just
seems like it would be
wonderful.
I have a 72-year mom who's so cute. She's not into drugs, but she went through my trouble with me, and she says, when I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to say, bring me some cocaine. So, it's like, you want to try it because you think it sounds so great, but you're afraid to because you want to get hooked on it. And Rick, hearing what I've been a long-time listener, but hearing you talk about Ativan and stuff, you'd totally like it. I think, you better stay far away.
Let's make a note to ourselves right now that I should not do any of those things. All right. Janice, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And, thanks for, it means a lot that you would call up and tell us that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rick. I love you.
Thank you, Janice.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there you go. That's Janice, ladies and gentlemen. Excellent. There you go. Well, look at that.
I wish you'd probably take a break.
Good God. All right, yeah. Let's take a break and not do drugs. All right. 503-733-2970. Now, imagine if you're Britney Spears or whoever, but in this case, Britney Spears. This is the other thing. Imagine if you're Britney Spears and just everywhere you go, people just hand that to you. People just offer it to you. Yeah. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back after this with Tim Riley, Jen Lane, Lycus at 3, Donna Mike at 7, The Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.